You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Sports have been called a great equalizer, a place where one's talent and drive can determine their success. But for some, barriers to participate and a feeling of unwelcomeness are still real problems.
In particular, people who identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender can face difficulties in the world of sports, from hurtful slurs used by coaches to fear of coming out to their teammates. Our next guest is working to change that and help athletes advocate for members of the LGBT community within the sports world and beyond.
Hudson Taylor joins us now. He's a three-time NCAA All-American wrestler and the founder of the group Athlete Ally, an organization working to foster an inclusive atmosphere in sports. He's speaking tonight in Madison at Camp Randall's Heritage Hall. Hudson, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, how did you first become aware of this issue and get convinced that you wanted to do something about it?
Yeah, so I was a wrestler at the University of Maryland, but I was in a unique position because I was also a theater major. So I had the unique opportunity of being in two very different cultures, one where I had teammates who were using homophobic and sexist language pretty regularly, and the other where I was a part of a theater department that was welcoming and respectful for my LGBT peers. And I think that context really opened my eyes and made me realize, you know, there's a lot more that we should be doing to make sport a safe and welcoming space for everyone.
And talk about the kind of language you heard in that athletic setting. What kind of things did you hear, and is that common?
It's so common. You know, I now travel the country, visit probably 30 to 40 colleges a year, work with athletes at every age level, and I think two things are just kind of universal. Language like "that's so gay" is still heard, you know, by 95% of the student athletes I work with on a regular basis. And the second thing that's still all too common is that very few people are speaking out against it. And so I think while attitudes are certainly becoming more inclusive and welcoming, the language is not catching up with those attitudes. You know, so I think I see homophobia as a weapon of sexism. And so I think that a lot of the language stems from improper assumptions about masculinity and femininity and sports culture, where, you know, we are judged against our peers. You know, it's a competitive reward structure. Athletes are taught to rank and measure themselves against their peers. And I think that homophobic and sexist language becomes a tool to put your peers down and lift yourself up. So, you know, I think we have a lot of work to do to try to change the way in which we teach about masculinity and femininity through sport, and then as well as educate our athletes on how they should be speaking to and about one another.
What do you think is the intent when this kind of language is used? Is it consciously homophobic, or is it just sort of a casual homophobia that people don't really think about?
I think it's very rarely done or said with ill intent. I think that a lot of our work and a lot of the challenge is sort of reconciling the difference between intent of language and impact of language. I think, you know, growing up as a wrestler, I never had anybody on my wrestling team who was openly gay. So as a result, when I heard that locker room language, I didn't think I should be speaking out against it, because I didn't think it impacted anybody in my life, anybody on my team. And so I think a lot of athletes, you know, fail to realize that difference between intent and impact, as well as sort of fail to realize how our words expand and resonate and impact people in unforeseen ways. You know, I may say something as a joke and you may hear it as a joke, but we can never control how it impacts the people around us. So, you know, just bringing that level of awareness up in a conversation does a lot to change a locker room culture.
Well, I want to ask you how you got started in addressing this. You're on the team bus, you're in the locker room, you hear this kind of language. I mean, this is an awkward situation. How did you first raise these issues?
Yeah, well, I was at Maryland, I was in a really unique position because I was captain of my team. I was a three-time All-American athlete. So I was very much in a leadership position. And I think I really realized that I wanted to build a program and build a culture in which every one of my teammates could maximize their potential and feel comfortable and confident being themselves. So it started with just everyday conversations, asking questions of my teammates, you know, why is that the word you use? Why'd you say that? and sort of going from there. But the real catalyst for me in starting Athlete Ally and making this my life's work came my senior year at Maryland. I started the season wearing an LGBT equality sticker on my headgear to show support. And in response to that sticker, I got about 2,000 emails from closeted athletes from across the country. 2,000 emails from kids who wrote to me and said, you know, Hudson, I just read this article, and I'm going to try out for my wrestling team. I'm going to go into the locker room and not be afraid. And it was those stories and those emails that really, really struck me, because, you know, my sport has been my entire life. It's made me my every friend. It's opened every door for me. And this idea that there continues to be, you know, an entire population of people that is systematically isolated or excluded or othered in sport is a tragedy. But, you know, I kind of realized if a wrestler could get that kind of response for doing something so simple as wearing a sticker, imagine if I had been a football player or a team or an athletic department. And so Athlete Ally sort of was born out of this idea that there's never been a successful social justice movement for a minority group without the support of the majority. That if we're going to really meaningfully tackle homophobia, transphobia, and sexism in sports, it can't just be the responsibility of those who are personally impacted by it, who shoulder the responsibility of ending it. So that's what I work now on a daily basis, is try to educate and activate more people in sports to start standing up and speaking out.
That was the positive response to wearing that sticker. Did you get pushback? Was there negative response?
Absolutely. I mean, I think on any social justice issue, there is always going to be a spectrum of opinion. I think that in LGBT work, there's still this assumption that you need to be a member of the LGBT community in order to care passionately about LGBT equality. And so, yeah, there were a lot of divisive, heated debates that I had with my teammates. But I think the thing that I always sort of learned through that process is if we focus on what we're for instead of what we're against, we can always find common ground. I think that, you know, there are lots of reasons why people have various attitudes and beliefs towards the LGBT community. But I think, you know, regardless of whether it was my teammate or any of the athletes with whom we work today, I think people intuitively understand that sport should be a place where everybody can maximize their potential. And, you know, sport is in theory should be blind to your race, your religion, your sexual orientation. And so, you know, I think it's up to us to try to make sport everything we know it can and should be. So there definitely were some difficult conversations, and they definitely still come up every campus I visit. But I think, you know, diversity is beneficial to athletic success. The more we can create a culture in which athletes can feel comfortable being themselves, the better the team is going to do, the better legacy we're going to leave behind, both on the field and off.
We're talking to Hudson Taylor, three-time NCAA All-American wrestler and the founder of the group Athlete Ally. Hudson, athletes in particular, why do you see them playing an important role as allies to the LGBT and other communities?
I think sport as an institution is probably one of the greatest socialization mechanisms in the world. You look at the back of every newspaper, it's a sports section. You go to any high school or middle school in the country, and it's sports trophies that line the hallways. I think that athletes have a tremendous amount of cultural capital. And, you know, when I think about the most meaningful moments in sports, they are not necessarily, you know, a random championship, but they're the times when sport and social justice intersected. They are those stories of people breaking barriers, people who use their platform with a purpose. You know, Muhammad Ali recently passed away, and I think, you know, the world has saw him as an icon, not only for his athletic ability, but for the principles that he stood for. And so, you know, I think it's if we can help educate and activate the athletic communities of this country and around the world to sort of use the principles of sport to champion equality, I think we're going to very quickly, you know, create a world that is far more equitable than the one we're currently living in.
and with Athlete Ally, you've been reaching out to professional and I think collegiate athletes. What kind of response have you gotten when you send this message to people who are in at the highest levels of the sports world?
It's been such a positive and exciting response. I mean, in the last year, we've seen more athletes come out, more allies speak out, more teams and leagues take a stand than at any other time in history. So it's a very exciting time to be doing this work. I think, you know, the challenge is that 9 times out of 10, when we're working with a professional sports team or an athletic department, it's the very first time that LGBT conversations have ever been had within an athletic context. So there is quite a bit of education that we still need to do, just to get everybody on the same page. But I think, you know, I have the opportunity to work very closely with the NBA. I've worked with all of the incoming NBA rookies for the past 3 years. So having the chance to work with athletes, you know, at such an elite level has really been a tremendous experience for me. And I think, you know, those athletes at that elite level also understand that, you know, in order to be a good teammate, they have to make a welcoming and inclusive space for everyone. I think also, you know, athletes have Twitter followers and fans and people who look up to them as role models and leaders. And so the more athletes understand that role and responsibility, I think the more they're empowered to use their influence to make the world a better place.
Looking at this through the lens of what we often see in the sports media, a response when there is a political message or a social message in the athletic world is, hey, whether I'm sympathetic to the message or not, sports is where I go to get away from politics and social arguments. So, you know, do that off to the side. Don't mix it into the sports. What do you say to that?
Well, I think the political is personal. As much as fans would love to sort of disconnect from the political realities of the world, you know, every athlete has a family and a story and is coming from a community that is impacted by some form of legislation. And so I think, you know, it's unfortunate that I think people want to give so much influence to these athletes, but then want to silence them or not hear from them on so many other aspects of their identity. You know, athletes, you know, being an athlete is only one part of their identity. They have a lot of things that they believe in and want to say and I think should have the right to say. And so, yeah, I mean, I understand that, hey, we love our sports and we want to you know, cheer for our favorite athletes and favorite teams. But the reality is, you know, if we're living in a world and there's legislation or policies that are negatively impacting a given community, sport can be a very powerful tool in changing that type of discrimination. I mean, we look at the case in North Carolina after the passage of HB2, you know, which was this anti-LGBT quote-unquote bathroom bill. You know, I think sport, the athletes and the teams and the leagues really came to stand with the LGBT community and recognizing that anti-LGBT legislation is counter to the values of sport. And so, you know, as soon as that reality is understood, there's a responsibility for the business of sport to respond to those cases of discrimination accordingly.
We'll leave it there for now. Hudson, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
That was Hudson Taylor, founder of Athlete Ally. He's speaking tonight in Madison at Camp Randall's Heritage Hall.